Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. I'm glad I get to preach here tonight. My favorite place to be, Walker Bible Baptist Church. This is my church home. I love it. And I'll just say that. All right. Amen. He says, I do a good job in junior church. I don't. All the staff members and the kids do a great job. And our piano player, Sister Seatman, does. Everybody there that comes in that preaches, from Brother Kay to Brother Rodell recently. And it has been a blessing. I'll tell you, if you don't know what junior church is like, you should come down and see. You might see some of the kids preach even. Some of them sing. And I'm telling you, seeing their little hearts for the Lord is just a blessing. It encouraged me to keep on coming back and doing it again. Amen. All right. I won't take too much time tonight. Some of you are going to laugh at that. But praise the Lord. Would you take your Bibles, open them up to Timothy, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Man, it really is good to be in the church house tonight. Continue to pray for my daughter, Opal, as it was already mentioned. All right, she's a trooper. She's been struggling with this foot surgery. I love her to death. It's my hummingbird, I call her. She's always singing, and lately I have not been hearing that. It's been concerning. I haven't heard her play the piano. She can't use her feet on the pump. So she's a mess right now, but she's God's mess. Amen? Well, praise the Lord for that. All right, chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. All right, if you're there, say amen. All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. Chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, our King, our Savior, our righteous judge, Father, I call on you now. We need you. I need you, Lord. These folks don't need to hear from me or anything I have or bring to the table, which is nothing. They need to hear of you, Lord. Father, we love you. And I regret to say myself, sometimes I don't show how much I love you, Lord. But Father, I really do. I thank you for that great day of salvation, Lord. I thank you for your calling, Lord. I don't know why you would call such a dog as I, Lord, but I'm glad you did, Lord. I thank you for your salvation, what you've brought me from and where you've brought me to. And Father, I love this church. I don't want to be a hindrance to them, Lord. If there's anything on me now, Lord, I give it to you and I lay it at your feet. And I ask you to cover it with the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We love you, Father. Pray you be with me now. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say, and give me everything and the boldness, especially to say everything you want me to say. I thank you for the pastor of this church, the pastors of this church, past, present, and future, Lord. I thank you for the people in this church, Lord, just how they love on me and my family, Lord. I am forever grateful, Lord. I thank you for putting me here and my family. We love you, Lord. Be with us now, Lord, and lead us through these scriptures. And all these things we pray in the name that's above every name, in Jesus Christ's name, our soon coming King. Amen. Amen. The name of the message this evening is a charge, all right? A charge. We see here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, written by Paul to his understudy, or his student rather, Timothy. Amen. And Timothy here is given a charge. Amen. He's giving a charge. What is a charge, you may ask yourself? I'd ask myself that. What is a charge? It's to lay on as a duty or to entrust to, as an officer charged with dispatches. Amen. In World War II, there used to be certain soldiers that a commander of a certain platoon or battalion in the military that would send him these dispatches, give them to him, and he would charge him to go and give them to the next platoon or the next section of the military to warn them of maybe the enemy has some type of military tactic that they're starting up, and they know about it. I want to get those messages to them. That's a big responsibility. And same here, we see that Paul is charging Timothy. That is no small deal. He's telling him some things here in the scripture. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He says, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. But I tell you, this charge thing, I couldn't get past. This isn't the first time we see this. We also see it in the book of Kings. If you would turn there with me, 1 Kings chapter 2. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we see the same thing between Solomon and his son, or David and his son, a transition. David is about to pass on and pass forward or pass away. His time is about over. And he says here in chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And in verse 3, he says, and keep the what? Okay, everybody get, and he keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Let's not forget who is giving this charge. It also makes this a big deal. Here in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, it is Paul who is towards the end of his missionary journey, is towards the end of his life, and telling his understudy, hey, I've got some things here I'm going to charge you with. Somebody's going to have to pick up that rod, if you will, or pick up that baton, if you will, or the torch is going to be passed, and I'm going to charge you to do some things. I'm going to instruct you on some things before, because I've been through some things, and therefore I want to pass them down to you. It was the same thing with King David to his son Solomon. There was many of things that David had been through, many of things that he had come through, many of things that were self-inflicted on his own that he had learned, and he's passing down to his son. There were some things that he had to finish for the Lord that he passed down to his son. And here, it's no different with Paul to Timothy. He's passing, he calls Timothy his son in the faith. He's passing some things down that he has been through, that he has done, that the Lord has gifted him to do to who he calls his son in the faith. You know, this is no different than you or I, really. Because we were also given a charge, church, am I right? We were also given a charge. The Lord tells us, he says, hey, and actually, go right there. I have the verses right in front of me. How about that? Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. But in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, turn there, if you will. Mark 16. When you get there, say amen. Mark 16, all right, Mark 16, verse 15, at the end, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is this? The Lord is telling his disciples, he says, hey, I'm out of here. I'm leaving you some things to do. There's some things that still need to be done. There's some things that need to be fulfilled. But hey, don't forget, he says, lo, I am with you always. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm still going to leave you physically. He says, but lo, I am with you always. That charge is pretty simple. I can admit it, I'm country dumb. If you don't hit me over the head with a 2x4 and tell me this is right and this is wrong, I probably won't get it. All right? But I'm telling you, this here is easy to get. He says, go ye into all the world and what? Okay, let's try that again. Go ye into all the world and what? All right, praise the Lord. I don't have to turn up my hearing aids, amen. He says, preach the gospel. That's the Lord giving us a charge. And I dare say that is an important charge, amen. An important charge. We see that Timothy is charged by the Apostle Paul, amen. By the Apostle Paul. And what is he charged to do? And we see that Timothy is charged. Is charged to preach, amen, to preach. Right there in our verses, if we go back here to 2 Timothy, we go back to 2 Timothy here. I lost my spot here. Forgive me for that. 2 Timothy, he says to preach, amen. And I like that. How many of you like good preaching, amen? How many like good preaching? Amen. Preacher will be back up here on Sunday. All right. I like good preaching, but it is not an easy thing to get up here and proclaim the word of God. All right. It's nerve-wracking during whatever the month that you're studying, 2 months, whatever it is, to study. Not that nerve-wracking, but for me, especially because I get nervous, I get up here in front of my own church. It's when I'm away from here, my dad's church, seems a little bit easier, but my nerves are still going. I have not had coffee today, and I am still shaking, so I know this is a big deal tonight, all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But it is not an easy thing to get up here and do that, especially when not everybody's going to agree with you telling them the truth. Isn't that the world that we live in today? It seems like nobody wants truth. When you give, when they ask you, they ask for your opinion. I'm like, well, I won't give you my opinion. I'll give you truth. And what do I get? You get flack back sometimes, amen? But he charges him to preach. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing his kingdom. Preach the word, amen? He says, preach the word. All right, remember, preaching is the exact thing that his teacher, right, is in trouble for right now. Telling people the truth. He's in prison. He has done nothing wrong. But Paul is still being held accountable for something that he did. And the only thing that I could say that he did was preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget that the message that we have is the most important message on the face of the planet, church. This is no small charge. It isn't. And not everybody is going to like it. Unfortunately, I wish they did. I wish all you had to do was just proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and people just come flowing and we see 3,000 or 5,000 like we see in the book of Acts getting saved. Maybe it'll still happen. Maybe it's my wicked heart. I don't know. I want it to happen bad. I want to see revival happen bad. But before it can happen anywhere else, it has to happen in my own heart. It has to happen in my own home. Amen. He charges him to preach, amen, charges him to preach, and I like that. We see that Timothy, or Paul, the example that he led throughout his missionary journeys, preaching the gospel, traveling approximately over 10,000 miles, roughly 14 plus or minus a few churches. That's a lot of moving around. That is a lot of preaching. That is a lot of discipling. And three different missionary journeys. Three different journeys. That's a lot of ground to be covered. We see in the book of Acts chapter 7, we see a man named Stephen. Amen? See a man named Stephen. And he's just telling his accusers how it is. How it all went down. You, right? You folks, right? It says he was full of the Holy Ghost. He wasn't in his own power. He was preaching what the Lord wanted him to. And they didn't want to hear it anymore. And they gnashed on him, covered the, they didn't want to hear it anymore, took him outside the city and stoned him. He's like, why are you preaching this, Brother Rice? He's got to tell you, the more I give the gospel to people, the more I talk to them, there's two things I learned. Number one, this world is hurting, and they want to hear about a Savior. I don't care what anybody says. They want to hear about a Savior. You got people, we just came through this COVID thing, people that were scared to wear a mask, scared not to wear a mask. People scared to get a vaccine, scared not to get a vaccine. What's the bottom line? Everybody's scared. They're hurting. They're afraid. And the only thing I can make out of this is they don't want to die. Well, guess what? I've got the good news for you, all right? We got the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, this is how you can know heaven can be your home from this day forward. When preachers say this is an exciting time to be a Christian, some of us are like, man, what? It is, because people are more open to the gospel now more than ever. He charges Timothy to preach. He says, be instant in season and out of season. What does that mean? That means to be ready to give an answer at any given time when somebody asks you. And let me tell you, brother, now is more, I've seen this now where all the places I've worked, people come out of the woodworks asking you crazy questions just because they see you carry a Bible in your hand. They're like, hey, what is that? They know what it is. Is that a Bible? This is true. I told pastors. So I was at work, and I'm walking, I'm going to break, and I'm carrying my Bible, and I go back, this big American flag, I love that thing, I walk right now, and I hear, hey kid, just before this, I said, Lord, sometimes, I just had an altar case. I said, Lord, sometimes I just feel like you're alone. I feel like you're the only one, right? And I said, Lord, I know that's not true. Can you just show me? Like 10 seconds later, hey, kid. I'm looking around. I'm like, it's a pretty big place. I got a name, right? Hey, kid, come here. What is that you have in your hand? I said, it's a Bible. He goes, are you serious? I'm like, no, I'm Eric, but yeah, I'm serious. He goes, that's I've never seen anybody carry one here. He goes, that's awesome. And then he walks away and disappears. And I'm like, man, Lord, you work fast. Thank you. Amen. All right, I'm good. Now my chest is out a little bit. Got my Bible. I'm waving that. No, I'm not doing any of that. But praise the Lord. He calls him. He charges him to preach. Amen. Charges him to preach. Hey, can I ask you something? You're like, uh-oh, here we go. Rubber's meeting the road. Brother Rice is going to go off the rails. No, hang on with me. Are you preaching? You're like, oh, I don't stand behind a pulpit. You don't have to. What is preaching? Proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Preaching Christ and Him crucified, amen. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? Am I doing that? Hey, I'm pointing the finger myself just as much as I am you. Am I doing that? I can't tell you how many pastors, when they come up here and they preach, Paul Hamilton, man, Brother Ackham, and so many others. Man, I can't read their signatures in my Bible. I wish I wrote it in manuscript underneath, but man, just love these men of God. And I'm telling you, it's encouraged me more and more over the years, the 13 plus years I've been here at Walker, just to go out and tell people about Christ. Can I ask you something, Christian? Are you doing that? I'm going to be serious with you for a second because time's winding down. Not only that, this place is getting crazier and crazier and crazier. But with that, more and more and more people are... I don't know if I can say it. Yes, I can. My workplace hired a chaplain. I said, what? I'm like, they're like, why is that a surprise? I'm like, man, if you did that, the last place I worked, lawyers would be coated up and down the hallways waiting for... Are you serious? I asked why. People need it. That's the answer I got. Praise the Lord. Only problem is I'm robbing this chaplain's time because he's at my desk all the time and we're just having sweet fellowship and everything. I'm like, amen, you know, we're going back and forth. But he charges him to preach. Am I getting off the beaten path here? The next thing that he does, what does he do? He charges him to reprove. Oh, here we go. Charges him to reprove. Sometimes some of these words I do not like. What's reprove? To charge with a fault to the face. Now, there's other definitions, but it generally boils down to that. Maybe to call somebody out on some things. Maybe to, I don't know. And after that, he says, to rebuke. Another word I don't like to hear. Don't like to hear. Christians, can I tell you, I used to have a coach back in the day. He says, you have to be coachable. That means you're going to have to hear some hard things in order to get better. Christians, I can tell you, this may surprise you, but sometimes I say things that I should not say. Sometimes they're to other Christians. Sometimes they're to other backslidden Christians, which I'm very ashamed of to say, that in the moment, I think, well, I'm in your... What's your deal? Now, is it wrong for me to say something? Maybe not, no. But it's how I say it that makes it wrong. Amen. We need to be sensitive to other people's, I'll be careful how I say this, feelings. What I mean is know their backstory. Sometimes I don't have a gauge. And it just comes out, especially to those that I think, right? Not what the Lord's telling me, shame on me, but I think they should know better. And in turn, I end up pushing them farther away. Along with some of these things that I've been going through lately, one of the things that I've been seeing a lot is so many Christians that have gotten burnt some way, shape, or another. And just don't want to hear anything I have to say. And can I tell you, instead of making me mad, it might initially, but it just breaks my heart. You know what I want to tell them that I don't? I want to tell them, hey, why didn't you come to my church? They love me. They'll love you. You go home, you know, I don't know, throw a kid down the stairs, kick your wife down the stairs. You'll have meals coming. They're awesome. I'm telling you. If my wife's watching, she's not laughing right now. But no, he charges him to preach. He charges him to reprove, to rebuke, and finally charges him to exhort or to encourage to do something positive. All right, hey, we love that part of it. This church is great with it. I can't tell you how many times. I remember years ago, I was coming in here, I was getting ready to lead music. It's about three of, clock used to be there, it's about three of, and I remember I came up to Pastor Uri, I said, I'm not doing it tonight. He's like, what? I said, I'm not leading music tonight. He goes, what? He goes, sit down. So they were having some kind of meeting or something out here. He said, what's going on? And I just told him, I said, I felt horrible. I was sideways with my wife, and I said, I can't get up there and lead music when I'm like this. And I watched it, and he was all about being on time. I watched that clock go two after, three after, four after, five, and I knew, I said, you got to be having an issue with this, right? What did he do? He just encouraged me. He said, hey, man, I've been there. He goes, I love you. He goes, this will pass. You know, he goes, and he just had a way about him. And I came in here, man, I sang as hard as I could. And by the time I left, I forgot what it was even all about at home. Went home, apologized to my wife, like I do all the time, because all the time I'm horrible. That is true. She's awesome. A gift to me. But praise the Lord. What is that? That's just encouraging somebody. Christian, can I ask you, who are you encouraging? Who are you exhorting? Who are you just giving advice to that kind of puts them in the right path and it makes them a little excited and happy to be a Christian and to give the gospel to somebody or to disciple somebody? Because sometimes it's not easy to disciple people. Sometimes you're discipling somebody and you hit a brick wall, right? And it's like, you feel like you take 10 steps back. And then there's times you're just like, man, just wipe the slate clean. I'm done with you. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I feel like that. But then the Lord will just show me something. You know what it'll show me? It'll show me a mirror.
Amen.
My God. Hey, man. You know, it's you know, sometimes most of the time, our biggest enemy is ourself. It really is. It really is. So Paul charges Timothy. He says, hey. He goes, I want you to preach, I want you to reprove, I want you to rebuke, and I want you to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrines. Hey, he goes, listen, prepare yourself. Listen, I want you to do these things while you still can. Because church, I can tell you right now, the way the world's going, we may only have a little bit of time.
Amen.
We don't know. Tomorrow's not promised. Scrolling down here, verse 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Don't like that, right? I don't like that. Do the work of an evangelist. Headman! Make full proof of thy ministry. Church, what are we doing? This is it in a nutshell right here. This charge right here is not just given to him. It's given to us by the Lord. And I ask you again, hey, ladies in here, you might be called to preach behind a pulpit and you can't. But hey, can I tell you, every time you witness to somebody, every time you teach, every time you take a young lady under your wing or a young man under your wing, what are you doing? You're preaching to them. You're saying, hey, you're proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Every time you hand out a tract, what are you doing? You're doing the same thing. Pray for me, junior church. Sometimes I feel like I kind of favor the boys because they just take my attention. They don't stop moving, right, all the time. But the ladies are just as important, praise God. Can I tell you how many single moms I know that held it together just because they were saved and they knew to do right before God and raise their kids? How many preachers came out of that? Praise God for the woman at home. Praise the Lord for my mom. Praise the Lord for my wife. Praise the Lord for my daughters and your daughters who I see up here singing the youth choir. Raise a hand before God. Why? Because they were taught some things. Ephesians 4:11 tells us what? He's left us some apostles and some preachers, right? Amen? Some people that know some things that we can learn from and we can absorb some things from. That's what I love about the canoe trip. Brother Parrott's over here sharing all his wisdom and things that he knows. I'm not talking up a man. He just does. I ask him questions. And seeing guys like Buddy, little Isaiah, just absorbing that, and my son and all those kids. I videotaped him to having a conversation with Buddy out here in this area over here, in the kitchen actually, asking all these kids. It was just cute. Just seeing Brother Parrott take the time with this little guy in a stool, just asking question after question after question. Paul charges him. This is towards the end of his journey. Church, can I tell you, some of these old schoolers, I'm sorry if I offended anybody, all right? They're not going to be around here forever. They're not. That's why I encourage our teens in junior church. I try to get our boys to sing. I try to get our boys to kind of run junior church and to lead some of the songs and to run some of the games and stuff. Why? Because I'm not going to be doing it forever. I'm 44 years old. And as crazy as I am and how I talk too much and say the wrong things, I might not be here past next week, amen? Somebody might put their foot in my mouth. I don't know. Fist, one or the other. We're not going to be here forever. Train them up. I tell my son that, show thyself a man every night before he goes to bed. I said, show thyself a man. Show thyself a man, Dad. I love saying that. Why? Because I have something I can give to him. I can leave for him. It's not an old antique or anything or dad's shotgun or anything that I got or nothing like that. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the things from the Bible, the things that I've taught him from the time he was little. That's the most important thing. Those are the things I want to charge him with. Be like, son, hey, I may be gone. Hey, tomorrow's not promised, but hey, if I do, pick up that torch and keep going. Take that baton and keep running. You see, Brother Rice, what does this got to do with anything? Look at Paul. Look who's talking here. You would think the things that he's telling Timothy to do, you're like, this guy must have done it himself because Timothy's just following. Man, he must have been an astute and an astounded, just a man of stature for the cause of Christ his whole entire life. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, and we see Saul before he was Saul. He says, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Does that sound like the same guy writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4? No, it does not. No, it does not. And he says, disciples of the Lord went into the high priest and desired him letters of Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. Was Paul always like this? No, he was not. And I ask you here tonight, church, hey, does this sound like you beforehand? Or you may not have been dragging people off the prison, women and men and children and such, because they believed in Christ and Jesus Christ because they were this radical thing, right? You may not be doing that, but hey, you've got a past just like Paul did. I've got a past, just like Paul did. He may not have been as colorful, but guess what? I was contrary to the things of God. And now he can use me after I got saved, after I got born again, after I had a crazy preacher knocking on my door from Tennessee at college, after I had an old girlfriend and her dad who should have kicked me in the teeth, took the time and invited me to church to open that Bible up. I had no idea what that meant. I believed God. I believed that there was a God. I believed in him, but I didn't know you had to be born again. Praise the Lord. He should have smacked me in my mouth, but instead he took the time to explain salvation to me. And if it wasn't for that, coming home from college one day, hey, coming to myself, realizing who I was as a sinner, my sin was exceeding sinful, and then, oh man, I don't want to go to hell. If what that man says is true, then everything else he said was true. And I bowed the knee right by there. I had knee surgery and immobilizer. I was bowing my knee in front of that couch, and I asked the Lord to come to my heart and save me. And I said, man, things are going to be great from this point forward. Man, it got hard. Because the war was on. You say, hey, what are you talking about? You may not think that you can be charged to do these things that Timothy is being charged to do because we may have come from whatever. Or we can't because our past is checkered. Or we can't because you fill in the blank. Look at Paul. Look at what he was doing. And then on the road to Damascus, he ran into the gospel and everything changed. People changed. Countries changed. 3,000, 4,000 are getting saved. People are getting healed from one man who submitted his life to Christ. Now, I'm not going to draw this out anymore, but we're charged to do some things. Some of the people that have been doing it are not going to be around here forever. Amen. I'm 44 years old. I like to think I'm still young, all right? Because I'm a baby in this thing still. I'm still learning things, tons of things that I didn't know before. The Lord's still speaking. He always speaks to us through His Word. Amen. But man, does this... I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with this and we'll close. Me, I wasn't always like this. I wasn't always like this. He said, indulge in things that I am not proud of. Not one bit. Not one bit. I do not glory in them. The only reason I tell you those things is that God would get the glory, seeing where I was and where I am today. That's it. And a quick testimony for me, I remember one year our kids were at an amusement park, and I saw a guy that I played college football with. I couldn't believe it. And my wife's like, we're always running into people. You know it seems like, but that's not true. I started talking to him, and after a while, his name was Mark, and I started giving him the gospel. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm telling him about Jesus, what he done. I'm like, isn't that crazy? He goes, I'll tell you what's crazy. Eric Rice quoting scripture. Man, that was just, I stopped for a second. I'm like, thank you, Lord. A little while ago at work, after work, I ran into a pastor at the hospital. And I ran into the hospital, I was so pumped up. You're like, that's the last place to be pumped up, Brother Rice. Well, where I was coming from, I was pretty pumped up. So why? I was talking to this gentleman at work about something totally off, nothing to do with Bible or anything. And then I found a door opening, started talking to him about Christ. I started talking to him about what Christ did on the cross for him. Scriptures started coming to my head. Start quoting those scriptures left and right. Before you know it, I'm getting excited, and I find myself almost yelling at him. But I was happy. I had a smile. It was exciting to tell somebody about Christ that they would listen. Amen? Because I came from something that wasn't that good, and now I gave myself to the Lord, and now He can use me for His honor and glory. And I was so excited about that. And it just started a spark in me all over again. All over again. Like when I submitted a call to preach when I was 36 years old, I was sitting right here and the congregation was facing here. Brother Burton Gates from Liberty Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was preaching on Ananias. Man, I'm telling you, I just got under heavy conviction because my whole life people were telling me, man, do you think you could preach? I'm like, no, I don't. Not only was I charged, but I enjoy it, man. A buddy of mine in North Carolina, he told me, he says, hey, he goes, you know what you want to do? I said, I was like 37, 36, maybe 35. And I said, I don't know. He says, I want to do something that makes me happy. And he goes, hey, man, we've been on a walk away from our wives for 3 hours. You have not shut up about the gospel. I think that's where you're happy. I tell you, I get to do this. That's a blessing. So church, I ask you one more time. The charge. Are you preaching? Are you telling others about Christ? Tomorrow's not promised. We are not going to be here forever. Who are we training up? Amen. Amen. Preacher, why don't you come?
Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So important having the word of God. Don't tell people what you think. Tell them what God says. Tell them what the Lord says. So let's all stand. Appreciate that challenge. Appreciate that charge, brother. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to sit under your preach word again. Lord, thank you for stirring in our hearts. God, help us to be bold witnesses, humble at the same time. God, I pray you'd go before us. And God, tomorrow bring someone by our way that we could share the gospel yet again with. Lord, what a great privilege it is to serve you. Lord, we need you. We love you. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a good night.